I want to say good morning to everybody at all of our venues this morning. We're glad you're with us. And also a special welcome to all of our outreach partners who have joined us at all of our venues today. Trust that your involvement and engagement with us here at COD is a great encouragement to your heart and your life. Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn with me, if you want, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. There's a disturbing trend, I think, that has wedged itself into churches in the last number of years. And that trend is churches who talk about being on mission but de-emphasize global vision. I think this is confusing. I think this is troubling because if you're going to join God in what God is doing in the world, that mission is clearly linked not only to reaching your own city but also to reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came into the world, the Bible teaches us that he had two main missions, I believe. Number one, Jesus wanted to serve the hurting, and number two, Jesus wanted to save the lost. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, when Jesus stood up that day in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, he read these words from Luke, chapter 4. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." Jesus had an amazing ministry doing just that, healing the sick and freeing people who were in bondage and helping the oppressed. One of the reasons why in Matthew chapter 25, God says there that he blesses us when we do the same. When we feed the hungry, when we welcome the refugee, when we look after sick prisoners and sick people. It's one of the reasons why as a church we have expanded this area of our ministry and we say over and over again that we are for York. But, church, hear me this morning. Jesus not only came to serve the hurting, he also came to save the lost. Not only here in York, but also all around the world. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10, after the amazing conversion of the wealthy tax collector Zacchaeus, Jesus turned to the crowd that day and he told them why he came. Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." And so Jesus came to serve the hurting and to save the lost. And while a lot of churches have rediscovered their passion, for sure, to serve the hurting, it seems that there are a lot of churches that have lost their passion to save the lost. And so this morning on this first Sunday, this kickoff Sunday of our missions festival, I want to encourage and challenge all of us here in this place to be involved in God's great drama of not only reaching our city, but also reaching the nations. Being involved in reaching the lost people that this world has all over the place. And so here's my setup point that I want you to think about this morning as we get this. For COD to be a healthy church, and that's one of the things that we think is huge as we continue to minister. For COD to be a healthy church, there has to be what I want to call today a beautiful but delicate balance between serving the hurting and reaching the lost. How about it, church? We can't have one wagging one can't be the tail that kind of wags the dog. There has to be this balance as we seek to reach our world. And this morning I want to speak specifically about being a church that has a heart for seeing the world come to faith in Jesus Christ. And let's begin there in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, with this first idea that Jesus Christ calls us, each and every one of us. None of us are exempt from this. Jesus calls us to what I want to call here real bold gospel ministry. And Jesus calls us to this ministry over and over and over again. And here we find it in Luke chapter 10, in the opening verses of the Gospel of Luke. We find Jesus is appointing 72 other people other than his disciples, and he's sending them out. Listen to what it says here in these verses. It says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, this is huge, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And so here's Jesus talking about the world in which he lived. And I think he's saying a few things to us. Number one, he's reminding us that there's a harvest to be had. How about it, church? God is always at work in your life and mine, bringing people to a relationship with him. I wonder who in your life, maybe your neighbor, maybe your husband or your wife, who in your life, a coworker, is God at work right now drawing that person to himself? Secondly, he says that we should pray that God will send more people into the harvest field. And then the third thing he says is simply this: go! Get out there! Plumber, school teacher, construction worker, office worker, go! Get out there, Jesus says, and get involved in what God is doing in people's lives. Glory to God for that. It's one of the reasons why at the end of Jesus' ministry, and he gave us this thing we call the Great Commission, he focuses on the nations of the world. Listen to what he says here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all," what church? "Of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That word nations there is the Greek word ethne. We get our word ethnic or ethnicity from it. It's one of the reasons why midway through the book of Acts, by the way, you find Paul leaving the environs of ancient Israel, traveling around the Mediterranean Sea rim, longing, Scripture says, to go to Spain, to go to Rome. It's why Thomas ends up in India. It's why Mark ends up in Alexandria. It's why all the other disciples went as far as they could in the then known world. Why? Because when you know Jesus as your Savior, going to the nations with redemptive gospel impact is a natural and normal response to his call. Are you with me here, church? Number one, Jesus calls us, all of us, not just a few of us, all of us, to have a heart for the nations, for the gospel. The second thing I want to see here is that this gospel mission that God calls us to comes with what I want to call today a gospel promise, a gospel promise. One of the amazing truths that we find scattered throughout the Word of God is this idea that one day, church, people from every nation and ethnic group, they're going to gather around the throne of the living God and they're going to worship him. That's a promise and a challenge, I think, that we see in many places in Scripture. First of all, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 25. I have it on the screen as well. But here's the first verse that reminds us this. Way back 800 years before the time of Jesus, Isaiah wrote these words, "Therefore strong peoples will honor you." He's talking now about the nations around Israel. "Therefore strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, a shade from the heat for," what church? "All peoples." Jesus said this in the Gospel of Matthew 24, talking about the gospel and the reach that it'll have. He said, "In this gospel, the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come." What does he mean by that? Well, he's saying that missions isn't done until the whole world has heard about Jesus. But to me, there is nowhere is this global vision more glorious than in Revelation chapter 7. You ought to turn there this morning. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9, John has this amazing vision that goes far into the future, and he's got this vision of the throne of God and what's going to happen one day. And listen to what he says here in Revelation 7. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. So he's talking about heaven here, church. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Wow. God is on a mission to create worshipers from every tribe and people group in this world. I have it in your notes this morning. I want you to get this down. Missions exist, John Piper says, because worship doesn't yet. How about it, church? And I think every one of us who knows Christ, who has Christ in our hearts, we long for this day. We long for this day. We long for the day when we will stand around the throne of Jesus Christ and worship with people of different ethne than you and I are. But it would be tragic, church. Tragic. For churches like ours to join Jesus on mission and then just limit that mission to our own city. Church, we are not just for York. We are also for the what, church? For the world. We are, because Jesus is for the world. Jesus is for the world. Number three, let's talk about what's happening in our world today. And so we have this mandate as Christ followers to not only be concerned about our own community, but also every community in the world. What's happening in the communities of the world today? I tell you what, if you're a Christ follower and you are concerned about the world and you want to do something about the world, there's some great challenges that are out there. I've got up five of them. I could have gone on and on. I want you to think about these here this morning. Number one, the challenge of what I want to call the 1040 window, where the least number of missionaries go and yet where there's the greatest unreached need for the gospel of Christ. I have a picture up here. If you go to the next slide, please. I have a picture of the world there, that red part there. That's what we call the 1040 window. Many of us have never been to these places. Missionaries, for the most part, are not allowed into these places. Some of us have been there. You can't spend time in places like that without seeing that the predominant religious faith is either Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, or atheism. With their oppressive demands and fear-producing legalism, and yes, soul-damning commands, it's hard to serve Jesus Christ in these places. It can be scary, especially when they bang on your hotel door at 3 a.m. wanting to know why you're in their town talking about Jesus. But I know from experience that people are beautiful in the 1040 window. They are beautiful. And that's where the gospel has never been preached before. I wonder if there's anybody within the sound of my voice this morning who feels a stirring in your heart maybe to go to that place. Number two, the nominal church needing missionaries to bring revitalization, the nominal church. If you go back to that picture there on the top part, you see all that there in yellow. That vast stretch of yellow people groups is where there is a church, and you can go there and serve as a missionary, but that church is young oftentimes and being formed. Sometimes it's old and it's tired as well. And what they really need is people to go there with a heart for God, and to show them what real, true Christianity is like. I wonder this morning who, under the sound of my voice, willing to leave home and family and serve in some of those beautiful places up there with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number three, the huge issue of human trafficking today, where millions and millions of people are transported to other countries to be used and abused. I tell you what, church, this one really breaks your heart. Just Google it and start reading about it. Your heart's going to be broken in a minute. Do you know that there are over 40 million people, I said that right, 40 million people, nearly 2 million of which are children? That breaks my heart. Transported today from one country to another for either forced labor or commercial sexual exploitation. It happens here in our own city. We read about it. Churches and Christ followers can do things like this, can help by helping families thrive and mentor people and give people a way out of this horrendous, horrendous lifestyle. Number four thing happening, the persecuted church. The persecuted church now at unprecedented numbers. Did y'all notice what happened last week in Sri Lanka, church? Over 300 people killed. They called them on the news, quote, Easter worshipers. That's a bunch of baloney. They were Christians. Christians who showed up at church and Sunday school that day and had their church bombed. Why? Because of persecution. Look at this, church. Every single month, this is not every year, this is every single month, 255 Christians are killed. 104 are abducted. 180 are sexually assaulted, are forced into marriage. Every single month, 66 churches are attacked. 160 Christ followers are detained every single month throughout the world without trial. Wow. That's huge. Huge. I saw this in India, by the way, when one of our precious pastors who was on his way to come and learn how to be a pastor was detained and beaten for days simply because he showed the Jesus film in his hometown and he was leading people to Christ. Wow. We saw this play out as well on the world stage this past year with Andrew Brunson. Remember that that young man over in Turkey? He was a missionary over there. And his real crime, when you peel all the stuff that they ended up charging him with, his real crime, and he was in prison for 2 years for it, was simply leading people to Jesus Christ. Church, listen to me this morning. These men and women who are being persecuted are our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Yes, they are. Wow. It's a huge issue in our world today. There's more persecution today than there's ever been before. Wow. Number five, the immense refugee and immigrant crisis all over our world, and even in our own backyard. You know, church, every time I see a young family coming from Central America, from Syria, from Nigeria, yearning to breathe free, my heart breaks for them. Does your heart break for them? I know this is a political football in our world today. And I understand the challenge for us. I get the challenge. On the one hand, we have to honor the rule of law. On the other hand, church, the Bible says we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. These people are our neighbors. Our neighbors. Look at these statistics. On any given day, 44,000 people across the globe are being forced out of their homes every single day. That's unbelievable. The world is in the middle of the largest forced migration ever recorded in all of human history. You don't believe it? Look it up yourself. Look at the causes, all kinds of causes. Our world is in such disarray. Armed conflict, terrorism, failed governments, persecution, poverty, it all happens. I don't really care how you feel about this politically. What I want to say to you is this not, for a Christ follower, an opportunity for the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially when they come to our own shore? Church, listen to me this morning. Jesus was a refugee one time, fleeing for his very life. It's crazy. I can't help but think what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Satan is powerfully at work today, stealing, killing, and destroying. How about it, church? Over and over again. And yet Jesus said that the powers of hell would not prevail against anything that he has and that he offers. And so what about you and me today? What about you, housewife? What about you, construction worker, office worker? Does any of this light a fire in your soul? Or maybe what you could do? Frederick Buechner once said these amazing words. I love this. He said, "The place God calls you to is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." I love those words. In other words, what lights a fire in your soul? That might be a spot where God is calling you to. I wonder today how many of us are willing to answer, "God, here am I. Here am I. Send me." Put your eyes on the screen and listen to this young lady as she challenges us about this very thing.
Something more, something yet to be born, unformed. Were you reaching for us? Were you reaching for me? Underway, light and energy, gravity, synchronicity, orbits and galaxies, comets hurtling down galactic highways, a space-time ballet, 1,000 years but a day, a brand new planet, hot with the fires of creation, life under construction, cells, replication, DNA code, embedded commands of how to grow, make yourself at home, woman and man, walk the length of the land, scale the mountains, run the rivers, drink from the springs, let your free will wander down the pathways of this garden called Eden. But wait, wait, have I got this straight? We gave it all away. We traded it away in a strange transaction. Forging of the first weapons, the spilling of first blood, the trampling and trashing of paradise, blowing the gift to pieces with a bang! So now the need for intensive care, so now the rainforest star stripped bare, so now the cities give birth to slums, so now the rifles and suitcase bombs. Why? A promising life ripped away just when it catches stride and runs free. Tanks rattle and pound, soldiers get cut down, never getting to say goodbye. Why? staring out their mats on the side of the road, down in the dust, unable to trust or try, with no tears left to cry. Why? How did it feel, God, when you walked this cracked shell of a planet, cried like a broken-hearted child, the perfection of what was supposed to be, up against the brutality of our reality? Ancient story says you gave up your life, your flesh, and your blood for love. And as the story goes, you're still reaching. You watch over the grieving. You capture every sigh. You measure the space between every heartbeat. And there's a promise that winds its way through every weathered page. A feast for the hungry, the delivery of the captives, healing for the desolate, the final satisfaction of justice, making all things new. Hope in the clinics where the sick hold on. Hope in the schools and the holding cells. It echoes in the halls of the hospitals. Hope rises up in the cities and the war zones. Hope in the courtroom and in the broken home. In the seminaries and the cyber highways. In the alleys of the homeless and the hungry. In the shack settlements and the compounds. On the farms where the soil is hard and dry. In the streets where the grieving mothers cry. Where the AIDS orphans stare up at the stars. Where the captives pound on the cell wall. Through the coal mine towns and the factories. In the ghettos and the prisons and the cemeteries. So where is it? I don't see it. I don't get it. The fulfillment of the promise. I don't see it down here in the middle of the fear. What hope can remain in the depth of this pain? I don't see it. The earth is groaning night and day. A song of human slavery, of dark disease and poverty, of children in captivity. God, that's the sound that comes to me. Are you still far away on high? Still staring out at that empty sky? Still reaching out with that longing hand? I hear no voice and I don't understand. I know about theology. I know you gave your son for me. I know you're wrapped in mystery. I get invisibility, but I still see their misery. I hear their voices haunting me, saying, who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free? Who will come and set us free?
Here am I. Send me.
Here am I. Send
Aquí
me.
Aquí estoy yo. Envíame a mí.
Dito ako. Ipadala mo ako.
Still am I.
Nay, tong day. I said, "Tong di."
Here am I.
Let bake.
Here am I. Maro,
send me aquí. Envíame a mí.
What ya? Sang.
What ya?
Do you
want me to do? Here am I.
Send me.
Here am I. Send me.
This is my father's world.
Here am I. Send me.
The
am I.
Nandito ako.
Hier is ek.
Here am I.
Diripano.
Here am I.
Maroham befrist.
Eme aquí.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Wow. I wonder how many of us really are willing to say just those very words, here am I. Here am I in little old York County. Here am I. Send me. Send me. How can we say that? A couple things as we land this airplane this morning here. Number one, pray. Pray. What you pray for, you begin to care for. How about a church? And go to places, go to some of the sites that we'll provide for you where you can learn more about what's happening in the world. Number two, we have outreach partners that we support, and they're here with us this week. And listen to me, church, they're on the front lines of a lot of these places. Engage with them, listen to them, hear about them, communicate with them. Number three, let me encourage you to find a local issue with a global impact. And we have them around here. There's a number of them. One, I'm just going to say, York YMCA, New American Welcome Center. Have you seen that advertised? Designed to help immigrants fully integrate into American society. That's a great place for us to meet people who are not like us, who have come to this country needing help. Find that local issue. Number four, go on a short-term mission trip. We're going to talk more about that as the week goes on. We have so many opportunities over the next couple of years. And number five, be open to God's calling on your own life. Some of you think, well, you know, I'm too old. No, you're not. I went to India last year when I was 60. My birthday happened in India. It's never too late to say, here am I, send me, send me. And all God's people said, let's stand together, shall we, this morning. Father, thank you so much for this challenge to our own hearts. Lord, I pray that this challenge this morning will color the rest of this week for every single one of us. And that you'll use it, to call many of us, Lord, into a heart for the nations that will change the nations until we see you face to face. We thank you for that. In Christ's great name we pray. Amen.